this right now.
Blog Talk Radio.
You know, church has become so commercial until we have gotten away from its true purpose. It has become such big business until we allow people to operate and function as long as they have something to bring to the table. People are now more concerned about recording and living in life of the rich and famous rather than knowing Jesus. For the true purpose of the church is soul business, not big business. I don't know about you, but I would rather have nothing and know Jesus than to have everything and not know Him. You need to confess Him today.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast with Pastor Kimberly Black from Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Do you know Jesus? Did you know He could live in your heart if you invite Him in? After the next song you hear, prepare to be blessed of the Lord. Prepare for a move of Holy Spirit. Prepare to know Jesus in your heart.
This is a move. Hallelujah. I don't know about you tonight, but I feel the presence of the Lord shifting in the atmosphere, for this is a move. We worship you, our Lord, our Savior, our God, our King, our hallelujah. We honor you tonight. We give glory and honor to God for being so wonderful, so kind, so magnificent, so gracious to us, blessing us with this time of worship. I am Pastor Kimberly Black, and I want to say welcome to the Light of Portland broadcast. I hope and pray that you have come ready to be blessed, ready to receive a word from the Lord, ready to have your love relationship intensified, because we come tonight to give God the highest praise. We give glory and honor tonight to the Butterfields, who made it possible for us to share this platform with you every Sunday night at 8 o'clock. We are so grateful. We are so appreciative that we can come into your homes and worship with you. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in his name, he said he'd be in the midst. He didn't say we all had to be in the same room to come together. He just said we need to come together in his name. So if you feel him right now, I dare you to lift your hands and say, God, I thank you for your presence. I dare you to put your hands together and say, God, I thank you for your spirit. He comes to revive us. He comes to restore us. We thank God for those that share this work with us as we advance the kingdom of God, as we tear down the enemy's strongholds, as we help those come to know Jesus, as we equip the saints of God. We thank God for our own Pastor Sherelle Pennington, Elder Dante Farmer, and Elder Kathy Miniweather, and our speaker on tonight, Pastor Pamela Love. We thank God for each of you, my sisters and my brother. It is an honor that we are able to share of the word of God and the work of the ministry together. One thing I know about these sisters and that brother is they don't just love the work of the Lord. They love the Lord of the work. And I am so grateful that they are in my life and we are working together to advance the kingdom of God. We also want to recognize Archbishop Ruth Smith on tonight. She is the international presiding bishop that we honor. Amen. And we appreciate her for the light of the world and all the work that Archbishop does, all the prayers that she prays and all the lives that she speaks into. We ask God's covering upon the woman of God as she continues to carry out the work that God has commissioned and commanded her to do. Now, I hope you're ready tonight to receive a word from the Lord. We don't have a lot of announcements. And so that means we're going to get right to what we came here for tonight, some prayer, some praise, and some preaching. And I am a firm believer that if there is praying in the pews, there is preaching in the pulpit. And my seat in the dining room is my pew tonight. Your seat on the couch is your pew tonight. Your seat in the cubicle, that is your pew tonight. Your seat in the car, that is your pew tonight. And wherever my friend, my sister, Pastor Laws is sitting or standing, that is the pulpit tonight. So I want you to pray with her. I want you to say amen. I want you to say hallelujah, and I guarantee that the angels that are listening tonight will touch our lips and touch her heart and give us some strength to help her give us a word from heaven on tonight. Amen. So I want y'all to get ready, get ready, get ready. But I do have some announcements I want to share with you, things that are happening here in our city. We are getting ready. Amen. St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church will be sponsoring a stewardship conference, Stewardship in a Pandemic, God's Favor Over Our Time, Talent, and Treasure. Their guests for this workshop will be, for this conference, excuse me, for this conference will be Dr. P. Wayne Oliver, and the host is Pastor Craig L. Brown. And we want you to join us on Friday, March the 26th, at 6:30 p.m. and then again on Saturday, March the 27th at 10 o'clock a.m. Guess what, y'all? This is on Zoom. So if you are in Georgia, Texas, Seattle, Las Vegas, Arizona, wherever you are, you can tune in to learn how to be a good steward in 2021. Let me give you that information for Zoom. The meeting ID is 753-501-3302. Again, the meeting ID is 753-501-3302. And the password is 214-257. The password for the Stewardship Conference 2021 is 214-257. This is a Zoom call Friday, March 26th at 6:30 p.m., Saturday, March 27th at 10 o'clock a.m., sponsored by the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. Dr. P. Wayne Oliver will be the guest speaker. Again, the Zoom meeting ID is 753-501-3302. And the password is 214-257. We are approaching Holy Week, and I hope and pray that we, the members of the body of Christ, will celebrate Holy Week like we've never celebrated before. Everything is so commercialized, it's time that the church take back what the enemy has stolen from us. We don't want to advertise chocolate bunnies and colored eggs and bonnets and speeches. We want to advertise that Jesus is real and he's the lover of our soul. He is our keeper and he is our provider. So I just want to encourage you as we prepare for Holy Week, remember that next Sunday, March 28th, is Palm Sunday. That was the Sunday before Jesus' death, and he came to Jerusalem riding in on a pony, riding in on a donkey. That's for all my music lovers. Amen. He came riding in on a donkey. He was humbled by the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and the people waved palm branches, and they sang Hosanna to the Son of David. And then we know that Monday came, and he talked about bearing fruit, and he cursed the fig tree, and he told the disciples that if they wanted to move a mountain, that they must have the faith of the size of a mustard seed. So he talked to them about the importance of prayer and faith. And then on Tuesday, we find two parables there, the two sons, the two tenants, and the wedding feast. All this took place on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, come on, somebody, Wednesday, he is at Simon the leper's house in Bethany. Jesus is anointed with the expensive jar of perfume and getting him ready for his burial. And then on Holy Thursday, also known as Maundy Thursday, M-A-U-N-D-A-Y, we find Jesus with his disciples. They are up in the upper room having the Lord's Supper. They're singing hymns, and Jesus is talking to them about what's getting ready to happen. He's letting them know that the betrayer is in the room and that Peter was going to deny him three times. And then we have Good Friday. Yes, yes, yes. I'm sorry. Let me get back to Thursday. It was there. He washed the disciples' feet. Amen. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. So I hope and pray that as we look toward Maundy Thursday, we're trying to figure out what can we do to help serve our brothers and our sisters. And then on Friday is Good Friday. You know, you heard the preacher preach it. It was a Friday. They nailed him to the cross, and we hear the last seven sayings of Jesus from the cross. And then there's the Holy Saturday, where he went down into the grave and wrestled the keys from the devil and took the sting from death and victory from the grave. Come on, somebody. And then I hear the old preacher say it was early Sunday morning. He got up with all power in his hand. Saints of God, we might not can come together and wear our Easter bonnets and do our little Easter speeches, but we ought to give God the highest praise because he paid a debt that he did not owe, a debt that we could not repay. And he did it all just for us. We were sinners, wretches, undone, no, not fit to live, and sure enough wasn't fit to die. But he gave his life on Calvary that we may have life and have life more abundantly. That's why holy, we got to be so special to us. It's just not another week. We ought to have a party all week long because Jesus is real. Yes, he is. He's real. Down in my soul today, I hear you, Deaconess. He has washed all my sins away. Oh, yeah, y'all, we had church this morning. But I want to encourage you, saints of God, Holy Week, let's make it be a week like we've never seen before, starting on next Sunday, March 28th, all the way through. Well, you're saying, well, Pastor Black, we're not doing nothing. Our pastor not doing nothing. Our church is not doing nothing. And I want to do something. Well, you at the right place. Let me tell you, if you want to be a blessing, Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church will be collecting socks for our houseless brothers and sisters. And we will be donating those socks on Monday, Thursday. We will be out delivering socks to the home, to our houseless brothers and sisters. We will also be taking desserts to our first responders and to some essential workers at a nursing home that we have adopted. And so you're saying, well, I want to help. I want to participate. I want to send some socks. I want to send some money. Just email me at gssmbc@yahoo.com, and I'll get you all of the information so that you can help serve. Amen. And if you're looking for a hallelujah good time, I want you to join us on Thursday, April 1st at 7 o'clock p.m. right here for our Monday, Thursday worship experience. We've got two dynamic speakers coming to talk to us about humility and servanthood. And we're going to be blessed by a word. And we've got some songbirds that's going to be singing some songs to us, and we're going to take the Lord's Supper. Even though we're not together, the devil ain't going to stop us from honoring and worshiping and praising our Lord. And then on Friday night at 7 p.m., which is Good Friday, Good Friday, we want you to join us this same number for the last seven sayings of Christ. We will be having a Good Friday service, worship experience, on Friday, April the 2nd. Join us by calling this number for our Holy Week events. Well, my brothers and sisters, those are our announcements, and we're truly grateful to God for what he has done and what he is doing. And we honor him for blessing us and giving us this opportunity. We are going to have a word of prayer. Following that word of prayer, we're going to be blessed by a song of praise, a song of worship, and then we will hear from our speaker, Pastor Pamela Laws. Shall we pray? Most holy and righteous Father God, we come before you this evening, thanking you, O God, for this opportunity to worship you and to praise you and to lift you up. Father, all day long we've been with Jesus. All day long we've been with God. And we ain't mad about it. We just want you to know we thank you. We're grateful for the opportunity to praise you and to worship you another chance. Father, we love you today for being our God and being our Savior and being our Deliverer. Lord, as we come before your throne of grace, we humble ourselves. God, we lift you up, O Lord, and we make our requests and our supplications known unto you. Father, we ask that you would forgive us of all of our sins, Lord, Search our hearts tonight, Father. Everything that you find in us that's not like you, oh God, we want you to remove it. We want to be pleasing in your sight. Transform us, oh God, by your spirit. Renew a right spirit within us. Purge us with hyssop. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is our heart's desire to be holy and to live a separated life from this world. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we present ourselves to you tonight as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord God, you are our strength and our redeemer. We love you today, oh God, with an everlasting love. Father, as we come before you tonight, we pray for this nation, oh God. We pray, oh God, that you would forgive us of our sins. I'm talking about the sins of the nation. Forgive us, oh God, for racism. Forgive us, oh God, for the violence. Forgive us, oh God, for capitalism. Forgive us, oh God, for the bigotry. Forgive us, oh God, for the sexism. Forgive us, oh God, for neglecting the widows and the orphans. Forgive us, oh God, in the name of Jesus, for being idol worshipers. Forgive us, oh God, for being lovers of ourselves. Forgive us, oh God, for loving money more than we love you. Forgive us, oh God, for not forgiving and helping one another. Forgive us, oh God. Lord, we repent tonight. We confess, Lord, this nation, Father, has sinned against you and you only. Have we done this evil in your sight? So God, tonight we cry out for the nation. We're saying to you, Lord God, forgive us. Father, we pray for those that are sick tonight, those that are incarcerated, those that are grieving. God, those that are considering suicide, we lift them up to you tonight. And we ask that you would draw near to your children, Lord. Hear their cry tonight, God. Save them tonight, God. Comfort them tonight, God. Let your voice of soothing words, God, speak peace to their hearts and their minds, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, you speak to us in loving tones and your words lift us up. Father God, we need you to speak tonight. Let your spirit take control of our mind in the name of Jesus. Let the light of your peace shine, oh God, that we may see your glory and give our troubles a benediction of peace. Give our worries a benediction of peace. Give our heartache a benediction of peace. Holy Spirit, we invite you now to come in and move on the hearts of our speaker. Touch her tonight. Let her words, oh God, come forth. We don't want just her words, God. We want your words to come forth. Through her voice, touch her, God. I know she's led worship. She's probably preached today. She's probably prayed for somebody today. It's late in Georgia, so give her dunamis power right now, oh God. Let her feel it, God, from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. Let her be revived as she preaches and as she speaks what thus saith the Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Thank God and amen.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken.
Pastor Laws, I yield this call over to you, my sister.
Amen. Good evening, good evening, good evening, Blog Talk. We truly do give honor to God for another opportunity to come and to just share. Great is his faithfulness. And I'm so excited tonight that God is faithful. I bring you greetings this evening from Total Truth Restoration Ministries, where God is rebuilding and restoring lives. I give honor to the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We give them all the glory. We give them all the honor. Also tonight, I want to give honor to the Butterfields and Bishop Ruth and Pastor Black and Pastor Pennington for all of them that afford us this opportunity to share on the Blog Talk broadcast. I also give honor to my bishop and First Lady Bishop Tyrone Washington and Elder Jacqueline Washington, whom I love so dearly and so glad for the opportunity to serve in God's kingdom with them, to my husband, my children, grandchildren. I send them love, and to the Blog Talk family, to my co-laborers in the gospel, amen, who understand that this is not easy, but it's necessary. It's not easy what we do, but it's necessary. And it's necessary because we have to be transparent to those, and I don't want to get ahead in my message, but to be transparent to those who are looking for a way out. And to you, you, and you, every family, every friend, I'm also live on Facebook, to every family, every friend, for everyone, amen, that is yielded under the sound of our voice, we say tonight that we love you. We say tonight that we love you. Pastor Black, I tell you, you were going in at one point. I was like, you don't need me, honey. I was enjoying that. Take us into a pre-Holy Week service. Amen. I was ready. I was ready. But I love you, woman of God, and I'll be so glad when we get the opportunity to see each other face-to-face, face-to-face. I'm looking for that opportunity. But lest I be before you too long, I'm excited to just share once again the word of God, because the word of God, it gives us light. It gives understanding. The word of God, it puts us in a place of humility. The word of God, it allows us to know and to continue to understand as we allow ourselves to be open to God. Amen. And when I was getting ready to talk about that transparency, it allows me to see me and to see how I need to line myself up to look like my daddy. And so tonight, there was an incident that took place this week. And you know the church, so many times we can be a little quick, to be a little quick with our emotions. And I think we talked last time reaction versus responses, and there were a lot of reaction going on with an incident that took place with a believer and their child. And I don't want to go into all those details because I'm sure you've heard about it, many of you, in some form or fashion. But what I really want to talk about tonight is that we have to forgive. Mm-hmm. We have to forgive. We have to forgive because we are the ones who are professing the salvation. We are the ones that confess with our mouths and believe in our heart the Lord Jesus, that God is raising from the dead, and the Bible says that we are saved. We are the ones who have to continue to live our lives in a way that men can see our good works but glorify our Father who is in heaven. But what has tended to happen, Pastor Black, is that somewhere down the line, we have forgotten that. Not all of us. Not those here on this broadcast, but it's those I watched on Twitter and those I watched on Instagram that say they were believers and they were trying to justify why they needed to step down, why they needed to just ask everybody to forgive them, and why they needed to be more be more, I don't even know how to name it. They were trying to give them all the do's and don'ts of what they needed to do. When the Bible declares that when we take a look at the beam in our own eye, it's difficult to see the speck in someone else's. I believe there's another place that tells us that we have to sweep around our own front door. We have to make sure our own yard is clean. Our own lives are subject to God. And so tonight the message is simply, why? Why should we forgive? Why should we forgive? I'm justified. I'm right. I'm looking at what they did, and it's not what God says, and it's not what God declares that we should do. So it is ours. The Bible tells us that we can be able to judge them, but it's not so. We can't take that text out of context. The Bible declares, I believe it's John, and it says, judge not lest we be judged. Judge not lest we be judged. It is in the book of John chapter 8, when the woman was caught in adultery. The Bible declares that when the woman was brought before Jesus and they began to lay out, even to say that she was caught in the very act. She was caught in the very act, and then they said, what do you say? The Bible declares that Jesus began to stoop down, and he began to write on the ground. Mm-hmm. And there's so much controversy or discussion on what he may have been writing, but as he stood up, he said, he who is without sin. He who is without sin. That means he who has lived his life perfect. You crossed every T. My God, you dotted every I. You did everything according to the God's word. You haven't veered to the left or to the right. You've always kept the straight and narrow. Your lips have always spoke perfect. Your mind has always stayed on track. Your hands have never run to shed blood. You've never sat in the seat of the scornful. You haven't walked with the wicked. He said, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. The Bible says he began to write again. And as he began to write, the scripture goes on to say that from the eldest on to the youngest, that they began to walk away. They began to leave. Can you imagine this woman? Let's deal with her for just a moment. It's not my text, but this is where the Lord is having me to go. Can you imagine them putting you on Front Street? They recorded your conversation. They took pictures of you and put it on the internet. Mm-hmm. They scandalized your name. And then they brought you before your daddy and said, this is your child. And your child was disobedient. I can imagine so many pastors' children that have had to go through such embarrassment and such disgrace. So those of politicians and those that even don't have to be that, those that are just operating in the community. And they put you and your child on Front Street. But Jesus is writing. Mm-hmm. He's writing. Because I remember in the Old Testament, he tells us to touch not my anointed ones and to do my prophets no harm. My anointed ones are those that I've called for such a time as this. My chosen ones, hallelujah, are the ones that I've shed my crimson and blood on the behalf of those. Those are the ones. Touch not my anointed ones. The oldest ones, they began to leave, and the younger ones began to follow because they, once God showed them themselves, see, something happens when God shows you yourself. You can't stand and cast judgment on somebody else because you don't want your coattail pulled.
You don't want to be put out there on Front Street. You don't want him to call your number.
Mm-hmm.
Sweep around your own front door. So, and as they began to leave, and I could imagine a woman just having her eyes closed. The scripture doesn't bear witness, but I can believe that's what I would be doing. My eyes would be closed, and I would be covering myself because they pull me out, and I'm still exposed, and my clothes are still disheveled, and they're talking about me and casting judgment on me. And one by one, you hear the clamor cease. You hear the voices trail off. The Bible declares that Jesus asked the woman, "Woman, where are your accusers?" He says, "Well, where are those that saw fit to bring you down?" See, that's why things we can't get so caught up in people, because when people don't do what we want them to do and people don't say what we want them to say, we want to cast judgment. I had you in my life for entertainment. I had you in my life to give me a word. And when you do things or say things on outside of what I'm looking for you to do, I cast judgment. But the Bible declares in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 14, it says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So, Pastor, I see my bishop on. God bless you. So, Bishop, I want to help the saints. What is a trespass? See, since we've tried to figure out ways how to find loopholes in the word. So let's look at what a trespass is. Pastor Black, a trespass is a breach. It is a delinquency. A trespass is an error. It is a fault, an iniquity, misconduct. It is a sin, a breach. Are we safely to say that we've never breached? What is that, to go someplace we shouldn't have gone? To say something we shouldn't have said, a breach. It's to break in and attack and a breach. What I saw on January 6th was a breach. It was those who did not have authority, who did not have permission, but they breached access. Mm-hmm. An error. An error is a mistake. Are we so blinded to being humbled by God that we don't see our own errors? When the Bible tells us in dealing with the communion, it says that we should examine ourselves. Woo! Examine ourselves. So many places in the Bible where God tells us that we should forgive. And it doesn't matter what position you hold. It doesn't matter what position the other person holds. If the Bible tells us that we should forgive. We should grant a pardon. That's what forgiveness is, to grant a pardon for remission of an offense or death. Watch this, though. We don't want to get it wrong. It's not that they didn't hurt your feelings. It's not that they didn't say things that they should have said. It's not that things didn't get a little bit out of hand. But you who understands who God is, you who the Lord saved with a mighty hand, you the one he picked up out of darkness and picked up out of the yuck and the myrrh and the mire, and put you on a solid foundation. It's you. It's me. tells us in Matthew 18.
Mm-hmm.
He tells us in Matthew 18. My Lord, Matthew 18. In verse 21. Then Peter came and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. See, God has positioned it that we should forgive until it becomes second nature. We should forgive until it hurts. We should forgive, hallelujah, until we don't mind saying I'm sorry. See, I don't mind saying I'm sorry because I understand where God has brought me from. I understand, watch this, the life I lived before Christ. And if he had not forgiven me of my sins, if he had not pardoned me of what I'd done while I was living my life thinking I was big and bad enough to do whatever I was doing, I couldn't be here today, be here, watch this, be here not preaching, but be here saved, be here living, be here having my life and my health. It's a lifestyle. Thank you. Thank you all together. It's a lifestyle. And that's what he desires for us to do. And so he gives us just a couple of reasons I just want to bring out tonight why we should forgive. And the first reason that we should forgive is because it is a command from God. The first reason we should forgive is because it is a command from God. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 6, tells it to us like this. Romans 5 and verse 6, it says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still trespassing, Christ died for us. Much more, verse 9 says, then having now been justified, that means justified, I didn't do it, by his blood we shall be saved from wrath through him. And verse 10, it says, for if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled, and reconciled is forgiven. For if, when we were enemies, we were enemies of God. Anything that's opposite of what God is or what God says is an enemy. It's in Genesis, it's called an enemy. Enmity toward God. So he said, but we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, see, God didn't just stop with saving us. He says, and not only that, but we rejoice. See, he didn't just stop at the salvation. He puts us in position to praise him. He puts us in position to have joy. He puts us in position to be able to shabbat him. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation or forgiveness. See, when we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, we didn't have to be taught how to be disobedient. We didn't have to be taught how to lie, how to mistreat people, how to not fight. We didn't have to be taught that. But what happened is that when we took on God, when we took on a godly lifestyle, when we took on Christianity, when we took on discipleship, we began to be taught this new life. Oh, Father, I thank you. When we began to be taught, he positioned us. He said that not only would you be reconciled, but I can rejoice. I can rejoice. Why? Because he's brought me from where I used to be to where he desired me to be and now positioned me on where I'm going. He says, I have now perceived reconciliation because it's a command. Because I understand that forgiveness is not for them, it's for me. In order that I not miss heaven on a technicality, we don't want to miss heaven on a technicality. And watch this, number two, a truly renewed heart is a forgiving heart. A truly renewed heart is a forgiving heart. When I'm renewed, when I'm renewed, it takes me back to the original plan of God. A truly renewed heart doesn't look at what my homeboys and my homegirls are going to say about saying sorry. See, I can't focus on that when my heart has been renewed. A truly renewed heart is not caught up on what people are going to say or what it looks like or even how it's going to make me be represented. No. I look at it because what did God do for us that he sent his only begotten son? That very son who knew no sin. The Bible declares that he died. He died for our sins that we could be forgiven, that we could have life and to have it more abundantly. He is the ultimate example of what it looks like to not get caught up in man. I don't get caught up in man. Watch this. Look at what Mark 11 tells us. Mark 11, verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you of your trespass. This is Mark 11, verse 25. And whenever you stand, pray. Now, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. See, God, he could, if he wanted to, he could put us on blast. But here's the one thing that I learned, and I learned a long time in ministry, that if there are things that you, if there are some hangups, there are some things, Pastor, that we haven't even told anybody, there are some things that we deal with, there are some things that we've had hidden in our closet that has caused us to act and respond the way that we do. Those are shortcomings. Those are cracks in our armor. Those are things that we've yet to give to God in order that he can forgive us and he can restore us and he can recalibrate us. God says we have to forgive so that he can forgive our trespasses. Many of us can't get through, get over, and get done because we have yet to forgive. You still holding on to what mama did, what daddy did, the ex-husband did, the ex-wife did, what your coworker did, your old boss did, what the neighbor did, the person in the grocery store you don't even know. You're still holding on to that stuff. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespass. See, we have to learn that the time is in such, this world is in such a place that we could be here today and gone today. Gone are the days where we say here today and gone tomorrow. People are dying. People are dying. Believers and non-believers, they are dying. They are transitioning out of this world. And many of them have left with unforgiveness in their heart. Family, I don't want that to be said of us. We don't want that it to be said too late, that we're holding on to unforgiveness. Today is the day. If you're on Blog Talk, if you're on the Facebook Live, now is your time to ask God for forgiveness. If you don't know that you're holding a grudge, if that thing has been laid so deep, God, you are in God's Holy Spirit to bring it to our remembrance, because we don't want it to be said too late. We don't want to miss heaven. The Bible declares in Matthew 18, if you find fault, that you go and you ask for forgiveness. And if they don't receive you, it gives us what to do. It says to take another one with you. He gives us a way out. He gives us the way to make it through. He's given us the way that we can have peace in our lives, that we can have rest. Many of us can't rest because of unforgiveness. You can't move forward because of unforgiveness. But I declare it today, amen, that God says you can have it. You can have it. Hallelujah. You can have it. Grab hold of to the hem of his garment. In spite of what the people are saying around you, get to the hem. Get touch the power of God, because it is that very power that is going to give you rest. It is that very power that is going to give you peace that surpasses all understanding. It is that very power that will put you in position to be able to get the fullness of what God has for your life. Family, I thank you tonight. It is my prayer that even now, those that are under the sound of my voice, amen, that we pray tonight, Pastor Black, if it's all right, amen, we want to yield just a moment, amen, to pray, because, amen, I'm not so good. Remember, we get chastised first as the speaker. Amen. God began to bring some things to my life, and I praise him for the opportunity to ask for the forgiveness before it's too late. So, Father, we ask tonight in the name of Jesus, Daddy, as we have come before you, God, knowing that you're able, oh God, to do all things but fail. Father, as you're able tonight, oh God, Father, to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness in the flesh. Father, we yield ourselves to you, oh God. Father, asking that you would forgive us, oh God. Father, any sin that we may have committed, God, knowingly and unknowingly, God, the sin of omission, oh God. Father, the sin of commission, oh God, the sin of ignorance, oh God. Father, the situations and circumstances, oh God. Father, that positioned us to be here. We thank you, oh God, for giving us the strength, Father, to make it this far. Daddy, we ask tonight, God, that you throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. You declare in your word in 1 Chronicles that if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, God, to seek your face, oh God, to turn from our sins, turn from our wicked ways. Father, you told us that you would forgive our sins. Ah, thank you, God. You would hear from heaven. You would forgive our sins. And you would heal the land. God, we thank you tonight for the healing. Father, we thank you tonight for the power of forgiveness, oh God. Father, I forgive Mama tonight, oh God. I release Daddy, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for that ex-husband, that ex-wife, oh God, that estranged relationship, oh God. Father, I release them right now in the name of Jesus. Father, for I know that you, Father, are able, oh God, God, to take me higher in you, God. You're able, oh God. They're your children, oh God. You know how to deal with them. I take my hands off of them right now in the name of Jesus. I take my mouth off of them right now in the name of Jesus. I take the very error of thoughts of them right now in the name of Jesus. Father, have your way, God, as your blood washes us tonight, God. Father, as you purge us as hyssop, oh God. Father, as you do, Father, what you desire to do in our lives, God, we ask that you would have your way, oh God. Father, and that you would move by your spirit. Father, we thank you tonight, oh God, for we understand, Father, that without you we are nothing. We can't do this without you, oh God. Father, it takes a special kind of love. It takes that agape love. Ah, God, I thank you for it tonight. Father, we ask tonight, God, that everyone that is on the line, Father, that has said this prayer, oh God, Father, that has agreed with this prayer, Father, that they would see a change, oh God, even as they sleep tonight, that you would give them peace, God, even in their dreams. Father, we thank you tonight and we love you. God, we adore you. Father, we lift your name high above the earth, for you're worthy to be praised. We said you are great and greatly to be praised. And we love you tonight in Jesus' name. And for his sake, we say amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Where you're at, if you would just glorify God. Hallelujah. Pastor Black, we yield this call back over to you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you were just unmuted, I just need you to give God some praise.
Hallelujah.
I've just unmuted you to give God some praise. Come on and worship him. Come on and give him the glory. Come on and give him the honor. Come on, worship him.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we give you praise. Thank
Thank you so much for that word on tonight. And that was a word directly from the Lord on tonight. Because if we don't get it right, we are going to continue to mess up ourselves and then each generation that's coming. We've got to learn how to forgive. We've got to learn how to get it right. Thank you so much, Pastor, for your word on tonight. Thank you for blessing us.
Yes.
Thank you tonight. Thank you. Family, I hope you've been blessed. I hope that you have enjoyed being blessed tonight and that you received a word from the Lord. God is so good and he is so worthy to be praised. Amen. We thank you for joining us tonight. We hope and pray that something has been said that will strengthen your love relationship with the Lord, something that will intensify you, something that will transform your mind, something that will help you get it right with God.
Oh, yeah.
And that is to forgive. We got to forgive, saints of God, and we got to let it go. Pastor, you took us to another level tonight. We joined you on Facebook Live, so thank you for enlarging our territory tonight. We thank God that we were able to share with you tonight as you preach to your Facebook family. We thank you that you shared that space with us. Be blessed, my brother. Be blessed, my sister.
Yeah,
know that I love you with the love of the Lord, and there's nothing you can do about it. Until next week, my brothers and sisters, have a blessed and prosperous week in the Lord. I love you.